as Cambria said, I'm Liz Roy, and then my husband is the pastor at Throne of Grace Community Church. And I'm excited to talk tonight about growing in our faithfulness to disciple. And that is not because I'm an expert on discipleship, but as one who just loves to disciple younger women. And I feel like God gives me that privilege to have a front row seat watching him work in another woman's heart. And it's just really exciting. I just love discipleship. So I think the handouts, you have a handout, everybody? So I'm going to share with you, just to walk through that, I'm going to share with you the biblical mandate to disciple. You'll see on your handout then what discipleship is and what it looks like practically. And then Brooklyn is going to then share what it looks like to be discipled by an older woman. I'm the older woman. As a disclaimer, though, Brooklyn and I don't have that relationship, a discipleship relationship. We know each other through the Women's Auxiliary Board. So it's really neat to see how our talks work together. But you'll see first on your handout, really, what does the Bible say about our call to disciple? So first, we just want to consider the biblical mandate that we refer to as the Great Commission, and you have that on your sheet, Matthew 28. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So we often take Jesus' words to solely mean make converts, but he goes on to say we are to teach others to observe all that he has commanded. So he didn't only mean we are to evangelize so that people will then be saved for eternity, but he also means we are to help them to grow to maturity in this life to prepare them for their future glory, which means as the body of Christ, because we're all the body of Christ together, but we're in our local churches, we're the body of Christ. So as the body of Christ, we're to encourage one another to grow to maturity in this present earthly life. So in Ephesians 4, I'm not going to read all that, but Ephesians 4 and Colossians 1, Paul instructs the church on how they are to grow up into Christ. And then Proverbs 27, which is probably familiar, reminds us that as iron sharpens iron, so one man or one woman sharpens another. And then embedded within the Great Commission, we have that precious promise from the Lord. He is with us always. So he's with us as our helper as we disciple other women. So most of us probably in this room aren't surprised by that. You're here studying theology, so you're not surprised at the importance of discipleship. But sometimes we may not know what to do because we just don't know where to begin, or we feel inadequate for the task, or fearful of the length of the commitment to meet with another woman, or we think we don't know the Bible, or even the bigger question you might be asking that we often ask is, what is discipleship? Which brings me to the next point on your handout. Point number two, and it's really, discipleship is really just a broad term, and it has a lot of possibilities. So I just want to clarify with what I think is most important is kind of this big picture vision. And Mark Dever has a book called Discipling, How to Help Others Follow Jesus. And he says, I have the quote on there for you. He says, "Discipling really is just a bunch of church members taking responsibility to prepare one another for glory." And the reason I love this quote is because Dever frames discipleship in this context of believers taking responsibility for one another. And taking responsibility for another is more than just meeting with somebody once a week or teaching her life skills. It's very different than that. Through God's word, we're taking responsibility to love and to nurture and to protect and to warn and encourage another woman in the faith. And then why are we taking that responsibility? It's for this goal of preparing one another for glory, for meeting Jesus face to face. Or you might say, and I can't remember where I got this quote, I think it was Tim Keller, helping each other become our future glory selves, the new creatures, the new creations that God will eventually make us. So that's a big vision of discipleship. Often we can view discipleship as just another thing to do in the Christian checkbox list of disciplines, instead of seeing this glorious privilege that we have to leave a legacy of faith to the next generation. So I share that with you because I want you to kind of have this sweeping vista of what discipleship can look like in your life and as you disciple other younger women. So coupled with that big picture vision, we need a simple way to think of discipleship. And that is you as an older woman, and yes, you in here are older women to somebody in the faith. You're an older woman in the faith, and Brooklyn will even talk about that because she disciples, I think, middle school or ages girls. So as an older woman in the faith, you're coming alongside a younger woman in the faith and teaching her to, what I say, live faithfully and fruitfully in her season and context of life. So living by faith in Christ's presence, promises, and power that result in the fruit of loving God and loving others. So faithfully and fruitfully. And that's where Titus 2, 3 through 5 helps us with a simple sketch of what faithfulness and fruitfulness can look like in discipleship. So in his short letter, Paul is instructing Titus on how right doctrine, what we believe about God, leads to right living. We don't have time to read through Titus 2. I have it on your handout. But what does that mean for us? And here's how I would apply it to our context. As an older woman in the faith, there will be some level of spiritual maturity. And everybody's like, yikes, spiritual maturity. So that's I don't mean we have it all together. That's not the gospel. When I talk about spiritual maturity, it's not having it all together. But what it does mean is that we are living by faith in Christ's presence, promises, and power that result in the fruit of loving God and loving others. It's not so much how much you know, but it's more importantly who you know, as in Jesus, who with a capital W. So we can't pour out the life of Christ if he's not first been poured out into us. So is my life a demonstration of genuine, yet imperfect, faithfulness and fruitfulness? And I can say even with my own life, I've had so many women pour into me, one of them being sitting here, teaching me how to live faithfully and fruitfully in my life, in a hard season in my life. But even with that kind of biblical understanding of discipleship, we often don't know what it looks like in practice, which brings me to the third point, just really to give you a quick view of my experience and what's happened with me over the years of meeting with younger women. And one of the younger women is in here that I've just started discipling a little bit. I can see her right there. So now she'll kind of know the tricks of the trade. But here's my first mistake on the handout. I said seek out a younger woman, but first it should be pray and seek out a younger woman. Don't seek out the younger woman first asking the Lord who you should be seeking out. So pray and seek out a younger woman. And I often then do something casual like take a walk or go have coffee. And I said mainly a lot of times because I'm the pastor's wife. So if I'm asking somebody to do something, they're like, ew, the pastor's wife asked me. So you want to, I try to keep it really casual. but more often than not, after some chit chat, I like to gauge the woman's just her comfort level. But I want to ask her if she'll share her testimony, not because I'm trying to check off a box to see if she's saved. I want to hear about what Jesus has done. I want to hear about his redeeming love and hear about the grace in her life. So I want to hear a testimony, and I'll share mine because I also want to model what it's like to share a testimony. So I love doing that just to be, again, for me to be reminded of my own testimony and what the Lord had did with me so many years ago. So it's just a good place to start is just to share testimonies. And then over time, as I'm meeting with a young woman, I just like to ask a lot of general questions about life. And I really want to get to know her, but also get to know her heart, her struggles, her fears, her temptations, her weaknesses and doubts, really so that I can help her apply God's word to everyday life. That's really important to start to teach a young woman, how do I apply God's word to this situation in my life? And mainly I do that through reading the Bible together, but also just through really good books. And I gave you a super long list of books that I think are really good books, but I gave you a really long list. And I will tell you my go-to book is Trusting God, because I believe God's sovereignty is foundational to our faith. And that's what sustains us in the trials of life. And we all have trials. And I know that, again, the woman that discipled me here pounded in me God's sovereignty for a few years as we met together and really helped me to grow to be faithful and fruitful in that season. Using wisdom, I also want to share my own sin, my weaknesses, my fears, my failures, my limitations to display my need for God's grace, that I'm not over her and that I'm walking this journey with her. So I want her to, I also want her to speak into my life. So I invite her to speak into my life in those areas. But I also want to share not just the negative, if you want to call it that, but also just how God is growing me to live faithfully and fruitfully. I want to share what is God doing in my life where he's showing me growth in some areas. And I can't overstate this one enough, but encourage your disciplee. Point out her faithfulness, point out her fruitfulness. If you think about a little child and you put them on your door frame and you're showing them how much they've been growing each year, because they can't see how tall they're getting, but the parents can. And so you want to point out to your disciplee how much they're growing and just point out their faithfulness. That's so important to get encouragement. We all need to be encouraged, but we want to be encouraged in the Lord. There are many times I've had to ask for, even today, someone I discipled to forgive me because maybe I spoke harshly. I said something I shouldn't have said. Today I answered the phone. I just shouldn't have answered it because I had other things going on and I was just impatient with her and I had to ask her to forgive me. And you don't understand how much that will vividly portray the gospel, is asking the woman that you've sinned against to forgive you for a way that you've hurt her. Another way that's really, I can see a temptation for me is the Lord is growing me, never arrived, growing me to that I understand his patience towards me and his compassion, because I cannot give that to a disciplee, and I can expect her to grow on my, in my way and in my time instead of God's way and his time. And that's because of my lack of understanding of God's compassion towards me. And so that's a place of real growth for me, of having to trust the Lord with their growth and how he's going to grow them, and not in my timing. I also want to rejoice in their celebrations, and I want to weep in their sorrows. And then lastly, I would say I like to pray with her. I like to pray over her so she can hear my prayers. And then also, a lot of times I want to text a prayer, not just say I'm praying for you in a text, but actually text out a prayer so that she can have those words, not because they're my words, but because I want her to hear the Lord speaking over her in a text, even in a hard time. And also, lastly, I would say just to pray for me, because I want her to know my neediness and that I have things that I would like for her to bring before the Lord. Again, I'm not above her. So to wrap it up, my overall aim when meeting with a young woman is to help her see Jesus, because I long to see Christ formed in her. Christ in you, the hope of glory, not Liz in you, the hope of glory. So we aren't discipling to gain followers or for women to be dependent on us. We aren't trying to fix her or expect her to be a mini me. We do this because, as Paul said to Titus in Titus 2, he says, so that the word of God is not reviled. Or as John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. So we do this because it brings joy and it honors God and his word. And lastly, I just want to think about this beautiful privilege of discipleship and go back. I want to end with taking us back to that eternal perspective where I started, which was preparing one another for glory. And the Lord is using you, all of us, to leave a legacy of faith. In Psalm 144:12, I think I put it on the handout, says, let our sons in their youth be as grown-up plants and our daughters as corner pillars fashioned as for a palace. The psalmist describes our daughters, or our disciplees, as being pillars of a palace. And a pillar on a palace is not only beautifully carved, but it also provides structural support and stability. So as we disciple young women to live faithfully and fruitfully, they become pillars of God's palace, which is the local church. And then in some fashion, we are leaving this legacy of faith to the women who come behind us to be shaped into pillars of God's church, but not as an outer beauty to be admired, but an inner beauty to be emulated. As Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So I love this call to give my life to strengthening the Christ church for future generations. I hope you are as excited as I get to be. Now I'll hand it over to Brooklyn.
Okay, so now I'm just going to pick this up. You'll see it on your handout and focus on the meaningful process of discipleship, which really is just a double click on Liz's third point of the practice of discipleship. And when me and Liz were developing this talk, we were seeing a lot of overlap of, oh, these are things from my perspective as a younger woman that older women have done with me that have meant so much. And then she's like, this is what I do with my disciplees. So we're very encouraged by that. And then to a group like this, I'm your peer, I feel like, so this is kind of odd. But hopefully you see the common threads too of, oh, I've had older women that have done that with me. That's right. That's really mattered. And then hopefully this kind of sparks you to think, how could I put this in practice with a middle school girl, with a high school girl, with a college girl at church that you might be discipling? So we're just going to go through these 10 points of just these common threads. First, helpful mentors have listened. So during our first meeting, mentors have just taken the time to listen, and not just to how's your day going, how's your week going, what's going on, just to play niceties, but asking me my testimony, asking me about my childhood, asking how I grew up, what the Lord has taught me over the years, when I came to faith, just those really getting to know you questions. And this action is so important because with it, she was setting the pace and tone of saying this relationship is not just one in which she's going to blindly set a goal for me, some spiritual goal, and say, get there, or just look at me randomly and say, let's read a book on patience. And you're like, what? She's going to take the time to see, when did I come to know the Lord? What has he taught me? And what maybe he might be doing in my life right now, and where she can kind of join in with just helping me grow in Christlikeness in a very fruitful way. Which then leads us to the second point that's very related. Helpful mentors take the time to understand. So they're not just listening and hearing about my story and testimony about past experiences, but they're continuing to ask questions and link that with where I am today in my spiritual growth. One mentor I've had for the past 2 years, she did this in such a great way, not just like linking it with spiritual growth, but just understanding my current context and season of life. After our first meeting where she asked me about my testimony and whatnot, then she asked me just what would be most helpful to me right now. She was getting just a feel for what my schedule was like. And she picked up on the fact that as a seminary student, I didn't need another like book thrown at me during this time. I needed an older woman to just sit down, have coffee with me, pray for me, ask me how I'm being faithful in the job and faithful in my job and doing it unto the Lord, how I'm seeking to serve and pour out in the season in which I'm being poured into, just holding me accountable and encouraging me in those ways. And that meant so much. And I'm sure y'all are busy college students or seminary students, like y'all get that. That's probably meant a lot to you. You can do the same thing with a youth girl, with a middle school girl, of just taking the time to see what's actually manageable for her. And sometimes youth girls, and we feel this too, need to be told, say no to things. You can say no to things. Maybe you need to take some things off your plate so you can lean into a discipleship moment in relationship that's really impactful. So understanding someone's context. Next, helpful mentors ask thoughtful questions that puts the focus on the Lord rather than themselves. And I will say, first off, there's a time and place for personal testimony. I felt so encouraged by my mentor sharing personal experience and the ways that the Lord has grown her over the years and things he's taught her in the various seasons of life. But ultimately, we want to direct someone that we're mentoring, we want to direct their eyes to the Lord first, and then not just looking at us and our own experiences. So, for example, let's say a high school girl begins to share how stressed she is in this current season of life, and you could lean in and say something like, oh, I totally know what you mean. I get stressed all the time. This is what's helpful for me. That could be useful. That could be good. But an even more helpful and better way to respond could be, hey, have you been in the Word lately? Hey, what do you think the Lord might want to be teaching in this season? Has there been something in your devotional time that stood out to you? Has there been something in a sermon that stood out? Because that's putting like the focus on the Lord. If he's your ultimate teacher, I'm not. And kind of getting her to think of, have I been in the Word lately? Am I going to the Lord for guidance? Am I seeing him as my teacher and my help? And you might ask some girls this, and they look at you with deer in the headlights look, and they're like, what? I'm not going to the Word. I don't know what it says. I'm really young in my faith. That's why I'm asking you to disciple me. Cool. Great. That leads us to our second point. Helpful mentors teach. So let's say they look at you like deer in the headlights. Then you can say, okay, to keep with our example of stress, let's turn to 1 Peter 5:7. You have her read the passage, and then you start asking her questions. What does this say about God? What does this say about us? What are we commanded to do in this passage? And so you're teaching her in those moments to read the Word for herself, see biblical truths for herself, because she's not always going to have you as a mentor around, and you want her to grow in her faith. So helpful mentors also teach and give substance, but this teaching is still not about us, and we're not at the center of the story or the encouragement. God is our ultimate teacher. We're just a vessel of the content. But it's not just teaching content. Helpful mentors are also godliness on display. And with this point, I thought about just wives and moms over the years who've welcomed me into their home, invited me over for dinner, but they don't just invite me over for dinner. They like invite me over 30 minutes before dinner's ready, where I see the kids running around crazy trying to finish up their schoolwork, and the husband walks through the door. And so she's welcoming me into her routine and into her chaos. And that shows me, okay, how does she respond warmly to her husband when he walks in? How does she respond to her kids in moments of stress? How does she continue to serve those around her? But even in our context, I also think of just dear roommates that have been godliness on display for me, been unspoken mentors of how they've served our home. I live in a house with four other women. How they've served our home by doing the Costco runs faithfully, how doing the dishes without a grumbling word, how they've spoken word of kindness to the weary roommate that comes in. So this is so relatable, whether we're single, whether we're married, whether we have kids, whether we don't. And even in our discipleship relationships, you could welcome that younger girl into your home, into your dorm room. You could have her over for a meal. You could have her over for a coffee. If you're serving someone in your church, welcome that girl into that of, hey, let's go take this meal to this family together. Let's go take these cookies to this family together. And you're being godliness on display for her in those moments. And then in the moments that maybe you're doing those things and you say an impatient word to a roommate and you're not godliness on display in that moment, you can be godliness on display in that you show her what it looks like to repent, like what Liz said, and you say, I'm so sorry, will you forgive me for that moment? And then she sees, I'm not perfect, we're not perfect, we all need a savior. And that those moments help take you off the pedestal as like the mentor. So godliness on display is very, very helpful. It's been impactful to me over the years. Next, helpful mentors celebrate and point out spiritual growth. Liz touched on this a moment ago. Encourage, encourage, encourage. Point out fruit. Point out growth. Same mentor that I mentioned a minute ago, she shared with me a few months ago, sharing with her a life update. And she just looked at me, and in the most simple way said, Brooklyn, I can tell you're trusting the Lord with this in a way that you never have before. And that was after 9 months of watching me strive to trust the Lord and be anxious and stressed as we would talk over coffee. And just that simple sentence meant the world because I couldn't see it. I couldn't see how God had changed my heart over time to bring me to a place of rest and contentment and trust in him. But she could. And so it doesn't have to be this long sermonette of encouragement, like just a simple sentence. So that is very helpful. Next, helpful mentors are patient. Liz already touched on this as well. To keep with the example of that mentor, she endured watching me for 9 months strive, and she kind of stayed quiet and prayed. And so spiritual growth does take time. I think of Ephesians 4 with this, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. A lot of discipleship will just be walking with people and bearing with them. And so we have to be patient with younger women's growth and recognize that God is the one who causes the change, not us. Which leads me to the last, but certainly not least important point, which is to pray. And Liz touched on this as well. Pray for her growth. Pray for her current situations that she's telling you about. Tell her you are praying for her. Send those random text messages. That's been such an example to me when I get a text from my mentor that she's praying for me, or even if she types out a prayer of, this woman's willing to take the time and like write out a prayer for me. Like, I want to be willing to pause my busyness and type out a prayer for my youth girls or whatever. So very, very impactful, very helpful. I'm so thankful for the mentors I've had over the years. I hope this kind of spurs your heart of like, oh, I'm thankful for that mentor that did this with me. And maybe if you haven't had that, you can see where, oh, that would have been so helpful for me when I was in that season of life. I want to do that for someone else, and encourages you in that way. So thank you.